The Public News Service Daily Newscast for August 19, 2022. I'm Mary Sherman. While the calendar still says summer, the midterm elections are less than 3 months away, and election officials are ramping up their planning for November.
In order to carry out a smooth election, Secretary of State Paul Pate estimates a roster of 10,000 polling workers, but adds that some padding is needed. He says while there are no critical shortages at the moment, they have to have contingencies.
Someone might be sick, or if you have some other situation come up. So they are looking for more people to have a fallback position.
And he says in some counties, they need more of an even balance of party representation among those helping out at these sites. Nationwide, concerns have emerged in the past couple of years about poll worker shortages due to the pandemic, or older workers deciding not to continue without enough younger populations to take their role. I'm Mike Moen.
Turnout among young voters is improving in the U.S., and some are hopeful Ohio will follow suit. College students had record turnout in the 2020 presidential election, 66% according to Circle, a Tufts University research center. In Ohio, roughly 52% of those ages 18 to 24 voted, compared with nearly 69% of all Ohioans. 19-year-old Sam Lawrence, who is running as a Democrat in the state's 46th district, hopes to remedy one of the largest deterrents from Gen Z participating in elections, a lack of representation from people in their age group.
The vast majority of our elected officials are above the age of the median population by a significant amount of years. That's one of the reasons I decided to run, to inspire other young people, maybe to run themselves, but more importantly, to get involved.
Older age groups typically register and vote in higher percentages. This story was produced with original reporting from Andrew Cooter at Kent State University. The Maine Department of Transportation is going green with plans to install solar arrays on three state-owned properties in Augusta. Mark Richardson has more.
The Transportation Department breaks ground this week on renewable energy sites at the Augusta Airport and inside I-95 interchanges and exits 109 and 112. Once completed, the arrays will provide low-cost renewable energy to power both the state capitol complex and East Campus. Joyce Taylor, chief engineer for Maine DOT, says the agency is putting extra land to good use.
DOT, we own a lot of property, but it's not like you can do affordable housing in it. We can't really put a lot of things in there, so that's a really good use of our land to try to A, get some money back for the taxpayers, B, have a greener footprint.
Taylor said once online, the arrays will generate about 8.5 megawatts of solar energy and reduce the state's carbon emissions by 2,000 metric tons a year.
The desert Southwest is bracing for a risk of extreme rainfall, which could lead to flash flooding into the weekend. Nearly 10 million people are under a flood watch in the area, which is dealing with long-term drought. This is PNS. Washington State wants to make homes for its vulnerable residents greener and healthier.
It started with a needs assessment from the Department of Commerce on housing energy resilience to figure out what that will take. Lindsay Schroeman-Warwin is with the organization Firelands Workers Action, a group in rural western Washington organizing on issues such as housing. He says improving housing won't just make the house more energy resilient, but also remove health concerns lurking inside.
People have been told by their doctor, hey, the bronchitis you have is caused by the mold in your house. You've got spots in your lungs that will never go away because of the indoor air quality of the place where you live.
Schroeman-Warwin says about 0.3% of houses in Washington are being weatherized or upgraded each year. The state's goal is 10%.
That's Eric Tagetoff reporting. Your first heartbreak, accident, loss of a loved one, these and so many other incidents can be lasting traumatic experiences, and mental health practitioners are working to shift the way traumas of the past are being addressed today. Tramell Gomes has more.
Trauma-informed care is a growing effort around the country to shift the mindset and understanding that humans are deeply affected by their past. Studies show more people are dealing with something traumatic without society acknowledging it. Yuki Reese knows this all too well as the director of school-based services for Viewpoint Health. Reese says they've adjusted the way they speak to clients or families to avoid exacerbating the problem.
You might be saying, what's wrong with you? When what you really want to say to the person is, what happens to you? What what is experience that might be causing you to react to this way?
Reese says it's important to uncover the causes of traumatic situations that may be contributing to anxiety or depressive disorders, addictions, or abuse. It's only then you can more accurately treat the source of the problem. There are currently two bills in Congress that would make these types of practices a requirement.
In Massachusetts, legislation signed into law this month by Governor Charlie Baker is expected to bring updates long overdue to mental health services. The Mental Health Addressing Barriers to Care, or ABC Act, mandates insurance coverage for an annual mental wellness exam and enforcing mental health parity laws. It comes at a time when the need for mental health services has been heightened by the pandemic. A follow-up to a story we first reported earlier this week, the FDA clearing the way for hearing aids to be sold without a prescription or visit to the audiologist.
Favel West is chairman of the board with the nonprofit Foundation Assisting Seniors.
In my judgment, this is a great boon if it's quality equipment, if it's equipment that's going to last seniors.
The Biden administration predicts this could save people up to $3,000 per pair. The less expensive hearing aids could hit pharmacy shelves as early as October. I'm Suzanne Potter.
This is Mary Sherman for Public News Service, member and listener supported. We're heard on radio stations big and small, your favorite podcast platform, and you can find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.